Hey, y'all, you know I'm on tour, so see if I'm coming to your city. You can click here at laylo.com/Sarah Silverman, laylo.com/Sarah Silverman for tickets. Hope to see you there, wherever there is.
Guys, it is time to do some spring cleaning. Here's my advice. Make your house spotless and then protect every inch of it with Simply Safe Home Security. I recommend it to everyone. I have friends that have it. They love it. It covers every part of your house. It protects you completely. It assesses if this is a real threat, even if it's like your basement is flooding or something. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Silverman. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/Sarah, rated number one of 2023 in U.S. News and World Report. That's all you need to know. There is no safe like Simply Safe.
Hi, everybody. It's your best friend, Sarah Silverman. Welcome to the show. Let's get right into some voicemails.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. I love the podcast. Sometime in December, you had a caller who was worried about dealing with her Trumper relatives at family gatherings. I've got a couple of tips that I use with people like that. First one is the reply, is that true, though? When I had to use this one over New Year's when a guy at a party made some fantastic claim, which was probably false, about COVID. And, you know, I didn't want to take the party and the conversation in that direction. So I simply said, is that true, though? Which put him on alert that, you know, I'm not buying it. Because you really can't change people's minds, but you can let them know that you're not buying what they're saying. And you could do it in a way that brings them back to the party. I like to say, can you provide one example of that? That often shuts them up. And when they say they can't, don't be smug. Simply say, okay, you know, hey, can you pass the mashed potatoes to bring the conversation back to the party? I find that helps. Thanks. Yeah. Love you.
I think that's good. You've got to be earnest with it, too. You can't be like, can you, or condescending, you know. But, yeah. Oh, where'd you hear that? Could you give me, you know, it's not like, can you give me one example? It's more like, can you give me an example just so I can get my head around it? Like, what do you mean, you know? But, yeah, that's good. Thanks. What else?
Hey, Sarah, this is Amanda. Over the winter break, your usual podcasts aren't going on, so it gave me time to catch up on something else I had wanted to listen to called Rachel Maddow Ultra. And they went over a whole lot of details about different Nazi propaganda that was being spread in America by Americans during our war with the Nazis.
Lots of code words.
Before and after and all of that. And the extreme lengths that was going on even in our own Congress, our own congressmen mailing out Nazi propaganda on our dime. I was just really surprised at how, I guess, prevalent that was. My understanding in school was that we were just on the right side of history on that. Of course, what they taught us in school, right? We were on the right side of history. I was unfamiliar with how many people on our side of the ocean were participating in that. But now it makes sense, right? Because we know how many people are so anti-Semitic in the United States, right? They didn't just show up overnight. They just always been here, but for a while,
huge Nazi.
We didn't see them, right? What did they say when Trump was elected? The lights turned on, and all of a sudden, we could see all the cockroaches. And I was just wondering your opinion. What do you think is better, when the lights are off or when the lights are on? When we can see and be aware of how many anti-Semitics are around us, how many racists, how many disgusting fascists are around us at all times, or when the lights were off and they were hiding and at least we didn't have to, I don't know, at least they weren't able to just cheer each other on out in the open like that. Which one's better? What do you think?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you look in the, there's video in the, maybe late 30s of, there's a Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden, packed. Anyway, my instinct is that I think knowing who is out there is an advantage. Unfortunately, it's not just like, you know, moving the stove and seeing the cockroaches that live underneath. You know, these cockroaches have microphones and platforms and influence people. I don't actually feel comfortable calling them. I know that was an analogy, the cockroaches, but it feels very much how like people call Jews vermin. So, but yeah, my impulse is it's better to see the disease so we can try to stop the spread of it. But then does the light on it help it spread? I don't know anymore, because the platform anti-Semitism is getting is both causing awareness to squash it and correct misinformation. But of course, we know for a fact that misinformation spreads much, 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 much faster and wider than truth or any of its corrections, you know. So, you know, I subscribe to the notion that darkness cannot exist in the light. But boy, sometimes I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Rachel calling from Brooklyn. I am a woman, and my partner, who was socialized as a man, came out last year as non-binary. And I'm really proud of them. And they sort of still identify as a man and sort of don't and are sort of still figuring it all out. But a big part of that is the way that they dress, and they love to wear dresses. But like, they have a beard, they present as male in a lot of ways. And I feel so much fear for them in the world, even where we are in Brooklyn, which is an amazing place full of diversity and lots of queer people. But I just know that I have this innate sense of not fear, but alertness that you have from being a woman
right. In
the world. You know, you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always aware of your surroundings and just making sure that you're safe. And they have never had to do that. And now they're existing in the world as a queer person. And I'm just so worried that they're a target. So I'm wondering if you have advice for me, how to talk to them about it, or I don't know. How to allay my own fears of that something's going to happen and just let them live. Yeah, I don't know. But I love hearing you give advice. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, I think your instincts are right in that you know, it would be ideal if you could allay your own fears. I mean, I know it comes from love, 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 but I'm not sure how helpful this fear is to them. I mean, yeah, as a woman, like you said, you know, we live with a certain amount of guard up, you know, for protection, a healthy fear, you know, as Gavin De Becker says, the gift of fear, you know, that gut that protects us. Let me ask you this. How would you ideally like to handle the fear you have for them? Like, what can they do to allay your fear? And should they be in that position? I don't know. But what can you do to allay that fear? You brought the word allay into this conversation, and I've really taken it to the next level. But, you know, the world as it is the world as it is right now. And this may not be a beautiful answer, but I say get some mace, you know, get some mace, keep it on you, have your partner keep it on them, and then just live your life. You know, and hope you never need it. It's like having Klonopin in your backpack. Just knowing it's there if you need it keeps you from needing it. Well, no, that's not a good analogy. That's not a good analogy. Not being in danger keeps you from needing it. So that's a shitty analogy. Hey, they're not all gems. I have had mace on me since I was about 19. I still do. I have it right here. Let's see. I'll show you. I mean, the hilarious thing about it is that it's in my backpack. So it's like, if somebody tries to hurt me, I'll be like, hold on. It's in one of these, you stay there. It's in one of these compartments. Okay, here. Pull. Safety's on. If I'm nervous, walking to my car or down a dark, scary street, I just walk with it in my hand like this. And with my thumb on the safety. And I never need it. I've used it twice in my life. Saved me. But it just, boy, I always think like walking with this in my hand when I'm going to my car at night or something makes me think, I wonder if this is, it gives me such a feeling of safety and security and just like knowing I can take care of myself if I need to, that I think, I bet this is what it feels like to be a man just walking around, you know? There you go. That's my not totally beautiful, earthy, bohemian answer to that. Set it and forget it. It's just a tangible solution. It's small. It's locked. You just throw it in your bag. Boom. Because you want them to enjoy this experience. So there's a practical, tangible thing you can do, have, give, and then just live your lives, you know? Just this, you want them to really enjoy this feeling of just true identity, whatever it is. You know, you say that they're kind of going in and out of like male identity, non-binary identity. That's what all that's about, is that it's, you know, that gender is a construct. So it just is, you know, it's like, I think the people have a problem with it because they need things to go in boxes so they understand life, you know, and that things that are not black and white or not, you know, that are more fluid make them uneasy. But really, like, I feel like for those people, I just want to say, like, you don't have to fucking worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're fine. You might have to refer to some people as they, if, you know, if you're so inclined to have that respect for others, but, you know, doesn't have to change your life. Don't worry. So funny, isn't it? Anyway. Also, I just want to say that I think when you gave me that visual of your partner with a beard and a dress, like, that's, for some reason, I'm just finding that look so fucking hot. Like, the bearded person in a dress with maybe a bold lip is just hot as fuck to me for some reason.
Here's some ads. Let me ask you something. Do your financial goals ever feel out of reach? They don't have to be, not with Chime. With Chime's secured credit builder Visa credit card, you can start building credit with your own money through on-time payments and small everyday purchases like groceries, streaming, gas. Members see an increase of 30 points to their credit scores on average. Chime reports your payments to the major credit bureaus to help you build credit over time, all with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. Start making your financial dreams a reality with Chime. Signing up only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. That would be crazy if it did. Get started at chime.com/Sarah. That's chime.com/Sarah. Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Based on a study conducted by Experian, Credit Builder members observed an average 30-point FICO score 8 increase after 8 months with regular on-time payments. Results may vary. See Chime.com for details. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Olive in June. I'm not a big guy. I don't do nail polish, but I keep my nails kempt. And boy, I love Olive in June because I don't have to go to like a manicure place or anything. And I get all my cuticles. They've got this cuticle remover that's so great. It's so satisfying. And then you like put the stuff on and then you cut it all off. Oh, and it's so good. And it's really, and then they have like a, I like shiny buff. They've got that. They've got a clear And it's so good. Here's what's great about Olive and June Mani System. It has everything you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. You can customize it with your choice of 6 polishes that don't chip and last 7 days or more. And the best part is that it breaks down to like $2 a manicure. I love it. It's so easy. It's so convenient. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to make small talk. You don't have to feel weird. You don't have to inhale crazy fumes. And don't forget to check out Olive and June Quick Dry. It dries in 1 minute. It lasts for 5+ days, and you get full coverage in 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/silverman for 20% off your first Mani system. That's oliveandjune.com/silverman for 20% off your first Mani system.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is your listening pal, Amanda. And I was listening to some of your best of episodes recently and came across a few of those calls where people are, men specifically, are mad about your feminism and your, I don't know, there's a lot of traits that they're just unhappy about, and it's your feminism.
Isn't that odd?
And I've kind of thought about, why is it that somebody would, you know, potentially be getting angry about something that doesn't affect them? It's, you know, these people are typically married and seem happily married and they seem confident. So why is that? Why does it? And I think it's because they actually are not confident. I think it is about a lack of confidence that they have, that they feel like you threaten. And I'm just going to put this out there. My belief is that it's because they're unable to perform satisfactorily in the bedroom. They're having very basic intercourse with their wives. And I don't know if you ever heard the Ben Shapiro thing where he was reading the lyrics of WAP. And I said to myself, that man has never made a woman climax in his whole life. And I just wonder if that's a common theme. And I just, it's just a theory, but I feel pretty confident that I'm correct. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when people are truly living their best lives, they're not spending it judging other people or getting mad about how other people. I mean, yeah, when men have a problem with how I live my life, or, you know, and they're strangers mostly, you know, or like what I'm about, it's just so very odd to me. But I also am pretty sure it has just about zero to do with me. You know, that's ego stuff. That's fear stuff. You know, when it comes to that stuff, I always think, you know, what do you give a shit? It's always so odd. You know, like, for me, I don't care how you live your life, as long as it doesn't affect other people negatively, as long as it doesn't hurt others. You know, I have an old friend who became a kind of well-known anti-feminist. And when I've talked to him, and he was so mad at me that I was happy being alone, that I was happy being single. He was so annoyed that his kids had to watch Wreck-It Ralph, where my character is a princess but decides to be a president instead. He was just so put out by any progress reflected in life or art. And I just think, why do you give a fuck? You know, like, live your life the way you want and I will do the same. Isn't that freedom? But the truth is, it really does not bother me at all. I'm sorry if it ruffles their feathers or they're uncomfortable with knowing that I exist in the world, but it's just not my problem. You know, for some reason, it does not bother me. What he or any of these people think of me, to be honest, is none of my business. But, you know, the thought that me living my own life affects their happiness feels so bizarre, you know, but that's ego shit. I hope that they figure that stuff out for themselves so they can experience some happiness in this life. But again, really not my business and certainly not my problem. What else?
Hello, Sarah. My name is Shanda, like a chandelier. I was going to call to ask for advice regarding my husband and I. A couple years ago, he had what I call a long-distance emotional affair with an ex whom I shall not name. She has things in common with him, like outdoor shit.
Uh-huh.
The affair ended and he invites me to go on adventures. But I have this like emotional trigger that it's not really me that he wants to go with. It's her. I'm very open with him and he knows I have this feeling. He says it's me he loves and that I am the one he wants to go with. So I was going to ask you what you think. But then I thought, what would Sarah say? And I imagine you would say, believe him. Go for an adventure. Maybe you'll accidentally have fun. Good luck. I also want to thank you for reminding me that darkness cannot exist in the light.
That's funny.
Hearing someone as strong as you say that got me through some dark shit, as well as your astonishing performance and I smile back.
Aww.
I love your face. Also, I exist, right? Bye!
You do exist. I think she's referencing because I always say that, like, the subtext of any heckler, you know, people that heckle during a show is, I exist, right? Like, yes. Well, I already gave you great advice, but I think that's exactly right. I think your imagined advice that I gave you is right. You know, take them at face value and go. You know, I mean, listen. He was having an emotional affair, but it sounds like he fully owned up to it without being caught or something, and that you're close and that you communicate. So, yeah, go. Maybe you'll have fun. That said, if you're not someone that enjoys outdoorsy shit, surely his ex is not the only person in his life with whom he shares this passion. He could go with a buddy or somebody else. But, in other words, don't go to keep him from going with her, thinking about her, or, you know, go, and that experience is going to be an experience only you guys can have together because it's you guys. But if you're inclined to go and try something new, then go. I mean, listen, I don't know that I want to go camping. Rory and I really enjoy a lot of the same stuff, but we also enjoy very different things, and we know that we do them on our own, you know, like, and that's good too. But if you're inclined to go, go. Yeah, you got this. You don't need me. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. I'm looking for a piece of advice. I was hoping you had a suggestion or a strategy, perhaps, for letting go or getting over very deep-rooted anger at the patriarchy and misogyny. Currently, I don't have any strategies or ideas that are working for me. Any advice you can offer would be appreciated.
Great question. Thank you for asking it, because I sometimes need to figure this shit out too. I think the better question to ask is, how is this anger serving you and how is it not serving you? The one way it serves you is to be aware of it when you see it, to point it out, to have boundaries around it, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. The way it does not serve you is that it feels bad and the anger can easily be misplaced and it doesn't feel good. In general, this is a well-placed anger, and working or volunteering around this topic can be a good place to put that energy, and that energy working towards something positive could be converted into something more hopeful and less angry. Maybe, I don't know. But like, for instance, I can get really frustrated. And then I said this example recently where I expressed frustration about it to Rory. And he very supportively said, you know, that's okay. And my knee-jerk reaction was, oh, is it? I was like, oh, is it okay? Just because he was a man close by, you know, and luckily immediately apologized for aiming that anger at him. You know, it will be more ideal when I can stop myself before that happens instead of apologizing after. But, you know, maybe acknowledging the male allies you have in your life, maybe that is a good place to start. Feel good. I don't know. But remembering that anger doesn't hurt the patriarchy unless it's focused and clear-headed. And without those things, it pretty much just only hurts you because you're feeling it. And that's some real bite your nose to spite your face kind of shit. So ultimately, I think anger is a kind of powerless feeling, and that's not what this moment should ideally be about. So put that anger where it belongs. Don't squelch it, but you can use that energy for good. And there can be joy in rising up or working or volunteering your time or working towards change. You know, there can be joy in the fight for equality. So, I don't know. Good luck.
Here's some ads. Athena Club, y'all. I love that Athena razor. It is so good. It gives me the silkiest shave without any bumps. And I never have that. Athena Club's razor blade is surrounded by a water-activated serum with shea butter and hyaluronic acid, which is a holy grail combination for skincare. The best part is the razor kit, which is only $10 and comes with two blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage, and your choice of handle color. And with Athena Club, you never have to think about blade refills because you choose how often you want your replacement blades shipped to you for free. Show your skin you care with Athena Club Razor Kit. Head to athenaclub.com and use code Silverman for 25% off your first order. Again, that's athenaclub.com and use code Silverman for 25% off. Why wouldn't you? Athena Club also launched in Target stores nationwide this month, so make sure to check out the shaving aisle to buy the products in-store IRL. That means in real life. Sundays for Dogs. Oh my gosh, our new dog food, dog treat, dog everything. Sundays for Dogs. I love it. It's real meat. They go bananas for it. It's like we use it both as a very high quality, high, treat, high value treat. And also we like subsidize our food with it as well. It's so good. Sundays is an air-dried dog food made from a short list of human-grade ingredients. Sundays contains 90% meat, 10% vegetables, and 0% any other thing, like synthetic nutrients and stuff. Every order ships right to your door, so you'll never worry about running out of dog food again. It's so good, you guys. Sundays cost 40% less than other healthy dog food brands because Sundays doesn't waste money shipping frozen packages. Instead, they spend on what matters, sourcing the best all-natural ingredients for your pup. It's so good. We worked out a special deal for our dog-loving listeners. Get 35% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/Sarah or use code Sarah at checkout. That's sundaysfordogs.com/Sarah. Upgrade your pup to Sundays and feel good about the food you feed your dog.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is Jen from Tennessee. Gigantic fan. I've noticed from listening to your podcast that you have such positive, loving, caring, thoughtful things to say about maybe exes who have wronged you in the past, people from your past that you've had bad relationships with. And so I've experienced my share and then some of unhealthy relationships. And I'm wondering how you're able to get there, how you're able to get to a place where you can say such loving, patient, kind things about people from your past that have wronged you. I see that as a path toward reconciling bad experiences from your past, and I want to get there also. So any help or words that you have about that would be amazing. Thank you so much.
I don't know that I'm thinking in terms of being wronged. You know, I think most of the relationships I've been in ended for not because I was wronged, you know, they just ended, you know, you don't. And I love these people. So the love changes, but it, I don't know that it's, listen, I don't have great relationships with everyone I've ever dated, but probably like 95% of them. I don't know that I think in terms of being wrong. I mean, there have been one or two where I would say I was wronged, but that's not something I particularly care to hold on to because it doesn't serve me. You know, I'll tell you how to, I mean, I guess my advice would be, what was it? How do you stay friends with someone who's wronged you or some, but you know, how do you be friends with that? I would say by living your best life. You know, by prioritizing your happiness in this one lifetime we have that we know of, when you take full responsibility for your happiness and, you know, when you make choices for yourself that favor joy, your joy, and most importantly, when you accept your whole self and treat yourself with love and care, you will find that you have an immense amount of space for others. And empathy and acceptance for others. So you stop thinking in terms of people who have wronged you. You know, I mean, listen, there are various degrees of that. So, I mean, there are situations of being quote unquote wronged that are wildly palpable and need to be dealt with. But in terms of, in general, in terms of relationship, I think if you're living your best life, you don't really think in terms of that. You see other people's faults and quirks with a little more leeway, a little more kindness, because you give yourself that leeway and kindness, ideally. And most of all, you know, you don't have to live a life with these people anymore. Also meaning, you don't have to live a life with these people anymore. You know, it's easier to love them when you aren't their partner. I think when you are no longer with these people, for me, it's a lot easier to love them just as they are. I have friends that I love to pieces that I would not be happy in a relationship with, a love relationship with, right? Sometimes you find that out by being in a love relationship with them, you know, and realizing this sucks, but loving them as friends. And that's the experience I've had a lot of the time. You know, just like I have exes who I am able to love to pieces as friends, but I would not want to go back to dating them, you know. But just because I have exes that are good friends or like have become siblings, you know, brothers to me, doesn't mean that it's the only healthy way to do it. It isn't even always healthy, maybe, you know? Sometimes a clean break works best for you, and that's okay. I'm not doing it better, you know? There's probably some, an unhealthy element to it as to my way as well, I don't know. But, you know, maybe zero contact ever again is the best for certain situations. You know, only you can know. But there's some tools and hacks for you. I might work, I don't know. Good luck. What else?
Hey, Sarah, this is Jason from Brooklyn. This just happened to me, okay? I'm staying at a friend's apartment, and I had to go number two. And so I went to the bathroom, and I put on your podcast, and I'm glad I did. Because it was the last episode of 2022. And as I was finishing my business, the episode was ending and it was the final voice message. And someone wanted to know what question you would ask a person to get to know them better. But right before you shared that, I noticed that my friend has this attached bidet. And so I was so excited because I've never used one before. So there's this knob you turn and it controls the water pressure and the water temperature.
Hello, Tish.
So I turn it and it was squirting the most perfect amount of water at the perfect temperature. And I was amazed at how direct it was to the asshole. And as this was happening, your question came out and it was, how do you clean your asshole? And I'm like, I'm cleaning my asshole as you're asking the question. What is happening right now? And I just couldn't believe the timing of that. So here I am leaving this voice message. It's called the Vecin, by the way, and I recommend it.
All right. Well, what do you know? I think they call that kismet or Beshert. It was Beshert. No, I don't know. Well, it's a coincidence, but one of the great coincidences. Thanks for calling in. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah. I'm almost 30, and I just got diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. I am happy that I got diagnosed because my whole life I've kind of just been treated as weird or quirky. And obvious signs that I had were ignored or they didn't know about them back when I was a kid. But I find myself having a bit of a crisis of identity because even though I have always thought I have been accepting, non-judgmental, open-minded, I apparently hold a lot of bias for autism that I didn't even know about. And now that it's placed on myself, even though nothing has technically changed,
right,
I find myself struggling with it. And I don't even know whether I should tell people or if they might have those same biases and treat me differently. Anyway, I was just wondering what you would do in my situation. I love your show. Thank you.
Perspective is everything, isn't it? I mean, you're the same person you were before you knew this. I don't know. I think you feel it out. You just, you know, look, the autism spectrum is so vast. You know, I have misophonia and that's categorized on the autism spectrum. On one hand, you owe it to absolutely no one to inform people of this, but you may find that you are, or you may become completely comfortable with it. You know, maybe some people will look at you different. I would guess mostly your friends will be unchanged in how they view you. You know, look, I'm a comedian. A huge percentage of my community is on the, wouldn't you say, Raj, that a massive percentage of comedians are on the spectrum? Maybe more than half. Maybe a lot more than half. You know how some people are like, there were never trans people before. Like, it's a new thing, you know? There were never non-binary people before. Yes, there were. We didn't have awareness of it. We didn't, you know, people thought something was wrong with them, you know, selves. There wasn't a name. There wasn't awareness. There weren't avenues towards living that life out loud. It was massively stigmatized, you know, and people aren't suddenly autistic or on the autism spectrum. It's just always been this way. We're just becoming more aware of it. So, you know, your business is your business, but talking about it, AKA normalizing it, is only going to help others know that there does not have to be a stigma attached to this. It just is. And knowing about it, like you said, is so helpful. And that's great. Okay. Good luck. What else?
Hey, Sarah, my name is Mike. I'm an artist and educator and not really into gender roles, gender norms sorts of things. And for the past 5 years, I've been a stay-at-home dad, taking care of two toddler children. I've got a master's degree. I've been making art and doing all that sort of thing, just kind of left it behind to take care of the family and all of the things while my wife, who's a physician, does her thing. But lately, I've been left with basically nothing, which kind of is creating a hardship for me. I'm trying to use my skills to survive, and it's very difficult. And I mean, if I was another gender, if I was another, I don't know, if things were a little bit different, I think I would have a better opportunity to survive. But being a white guy, I feel really bad about my position, and I know I shouldn't because, you know, white privilege is a thing. But anyway, I'm wondering what advice you have for me to go forward and to do better, you know, to keep motivated, to keep moving with my creative endeavors and doing more than just surviving. But anyway, thanks for your advice.
My friend, you are experiencing what life has been like for everyone else besides straight white men up until now. Is that your cross to bear? No, but also yes. You know, it turns out I the good news is life is still far easier for straight white men than for others, just less so now. And, you know, maybe you feel it because you're in the art world. You're in a more progressive world, I guess. I don't know. You know what I always say is that what you can do is what everyone else has had to do up until now, which is be undeniable. Just be great. Be that good. You make art, make art. You know, your wife supports the family financially. Having financial support as an artist is massive, massive help. You're raising two toddlers, so that's your day job. You're a house husband. That, you know, you're that's a real job, and it's massive. So plan dedicated time to your art. You know, maybe you open an Etsy page. I buy art on Etsy. I love getting art on Etsy. But if you make art that moves you, you win. If you make art that appeals to others, double win. You know, nobody can keep you from being an artist but you. I hope this is inspiring and not depressing, but good luck. Express yourself however you see fit. Dad, it's that time of the show where I say we are winding down. Don't want to be too abrupt for you, Dad. This is when I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on YouTube if you like watching with your beautiful peepers. Bye.
Hey, I wanna.
Hey.
Bye. Hey, ya fucker.